Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Not only do the Pakistani government officials, but the Pakistani people and the Pakistani diaspora need to speak out forcefully.
There's the call. Now the call-in for Pakistani Americans. We're about to play a longer soundbite from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton aimed specifically at you. And as you will hear, Clinton thinks the Pakistani diaspora needs to speak more loudly against the Taliban and for the Pakistani government to take strong action to stop religious radicals from taking over the country. So Pakistani New Yorkers, New Jerseyans, Pakistanis in Connecticut, any Pakistani Americans, call us and react to Secretary of State Clinton at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Are you ready to take up this call from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, uttered as she testified before Congress last month?
I do want to talk about Pakistan, which I think poses a mortal threat to the security and safety of our country and the world. And I want to take this occasion in this public forum to state unequivocally that not only do the Pakistani government officials, but the Pakistani people and the Pakistani diaspora, many of whom are extremely successful Americans here in academia, business, the professions, and so much else, need to speak out forcefully against a policy that is ceding more and more territory to the insurgents, to the Taliban, to Al-Qaeda, to the allies that are in this terrorist syndicate.
So Secretary of State Clinton, as she testified before the House Foreign Affairs Committee a couple of weeks ago about the threat to Pakistan and, as she said, mortal threat to this country from Islamist militants who are now operating just 60 miles or so from Pakistan's capital. And she went on to say, "I don't hear that kind of outrage or concern coming from enough people that would reverberate back within the highest echelons of the civilian and military leadership of Pakistan." So, Pakistani diaspora members, Hillary Clinton wants you to open your mouths. So how do you react to that? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, a call in only for Pakistanis in our area, Pakistani Americans. Are you ready to do what Hillary Clinton has asked? And for those of you not following these developments, Pakistani stories are everywhere in the news, even with Chrysler and Souter and the flu and everything else going on here. The New York Times lead story both Saturday and today was about Pakistan. Saturday, it was about the Obama administration courting the Pakistani opposition leader, Nawaz Sharif, even though he has some ties to the militants, because the president of the country, Zardari, is seen as increasingly weak. Today's lead story in the Times is about fears regarding the security of Pakistan's nuclear weapons, with the Taliban so close to the capital and the Pakistani government refusing to disclose the location of all the weapons. And in her testimony that included that clip back on April 22nd, Secretary Clinton said Pakistan faces an existential threat from the encroaching insurgency with significant potential implications for U.S. national security as well, as you heard. So Pakistani Americans, how do you see your role here? Do you have any? Secretary of State Clinton wants you to speak up and say that the government should not cede more and more territory to the insurgents. Are you ready to do that? Is she wrong to ask you to do that? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And while your calls are coming in, we have David Sanger, New York Times correspondent, who wrote that lead story today, and Pakistani-American blogger Sabahat Ashraf, a one-time intern on The Brian Lehrer Show. Sabahat, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Morning, Brian.
And David Sanger, welcome back as well.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you, Brian.
Sabahat, your personal reaction? Are you ready to heed Senator Secretary of State Clinton's call?
Uh, I don't know, Brian, as I've always been saying, I mean, we've been doing this for three generations. It's the United States that's new to the party.
It's the United States that's new to the party. And so when you hear Secretary of State Clinton say Pakistani Americans in the diaspora who are successful are not raising their voices loudly enough against a policy that is ceding more and more territory to the insurgents, is she right? Is she right about the policy? Would you say you've been doing it for three generations, meaning families have been speaking up or what?
Meaning we have been speaking up, we have been taking on the fanatics and the obscurantists for three generations now. And for, I mean, personally, and a lot of us feel that it's the U.S. and other people that have been playing footsie with the fanatics for most of that time. You know, from supporting the House of Saud to working with the most fanatic parts of the Afghan community during the Soviet war to even, you know, right now what you're hearing from within Pakistan, from at least the right wing, is that there's good Taliban and bad Taliban, and that whole discussion about, you know, that some components are being supported by the U.S. Now, even if that is not true, just having that perception out there is problematic. So, you know, as someone said about the Deer or Bunair discussion, that, you know, the people, for the first time, the Taliban swung into Swat, the people, you know, rose up and stood up against them. But the second time, after this time, when they saw that their government and others were not supporting them, they just, you know, sat down and got away. But coming to the expats, I mean, those of us who do speak, who blog, who write, who work, often do speak out and very often are the ones talking about it. Now, my question or reply to someone who says you guys need to be speaking out is to ask, I mean, where are the platforms? I mean, are you listening to us when we do speak? I mean, how often do you see expat Pakistanis being quoted in the media, in the press, or even being pulled into discussions with the State Department? I know a few do. I mean, I'm not saying they don't, but they need to give us structures where we are able to do it, is my point, right? Give us a voice, give us a say, give us a place, and then listen to us when we do speak. I mean, I know Holbrooke's been in discussions with Pakistani Americans, and I know he didn't like what he heard.
What did he hear that he didn't like?
I mean, I remember the one professor telling me, I don't know whether I can go to his name, saying that, you know, he went into a discussion and said, we don't trust you, you don't trust us. We need to start a discussion, a realistic discussion, from that point of view, right? You know, Pakistani expatriates are just like every other Pakistani. Our memories, you know, it's not even a matter of having a very long memory. It's a matter of the fact that, you know, we just remember what happened after the Soviet war and what happened otherwise. And also, you know, we chafe at the U.S. sort of butting in crudely into internal Pakistani politics. Yeah. I mean, I'm one of those people who I know Zardari is corrupt, Zardari is an evil person, but he is the elected president. We need to make this dispensation work, and we need to make it work properly.
Right. So, David Sanger from the New York Times, speaking of the U.S. government getting involved in Pakistani internal affairs, explain today's warning, or the warning that you report on in today's paper, about Pakistan's nuclear arsenal.
You know, nothing new here in many ways, Brian. The United States has been worried about Pakistan's nuclear arsenal from before the days it was an arsenal. You'll remember that we had sharp sanctions on Pakistan when it deceived much of the world about what its intentions were, and then conducted its nuclear test in 1998. Those were all lifted the few days after 9/11, when we suddenly needed Pakistan as an ally in the war on terror. And in the course of doing that, we made a number of compromises. When AQ Khan was finally revealed in this newspaper and other places to have been providing the technology that Iran and to some degree North Korea and Libya used to start up their nuclear programs, the Pakistani government at first denied that this was going on, and then admitted it and reluctantly arrested him, but would not let the United States interrogate him. And why is that? Because while Pakistan is certainly worried about the Taliban, for all the reasons you've just been discussing, and certainly worried about India, its longtime enemy, it believes that somewhere over the horizon we have a SEAL team ready to snatch their nuclear weapons at any moment that we believe that the country could devolve into total chaos. And, you know, they may not be entirely wrong about that. But as a result, these two great allies can't talk to each other honestly about Pakistani nuclear security, even though the U.S. has had, as I have written about many times before, a covert $100 million program to help the Pakistanis try to secure those weapons.
Moviz in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hello, Moviz.
Yes, thank you very much for giving me a chance. My name is Siddiq Moviz Siddiqui, and I am a Pakistani journalist. Actually, first of all, I want to say there is no danger for the atomic plan of Pakistan. It's no, because the
why?
Pakistan,
how do you know that?
Because, you know, I believe Pakistan army is really strong. And the thing is, over there, if you see, especially in one part, this is fundamentalism or you'd say extremism, because of the American policy, if you attack, drone attack, in one family, if you kill like 50 people and one is 49 is innocent and one is, you know, is, you can say Taliban or Al-Qaeda.
You're talking about some of the cross-border attacks by the United States from Afghanistan?
Yes. And I want Americans to know this area, they are very brave people. And also their history, if something happened in their family, they take revenge no matter what. It's their culture. So it's not like Taliban. They are taking revenge. If you kill 49, you will create right. 49 families to be against.
So I understand your analysis. Now, what about your reaction to Secretary Clinton calling on Pakistani Americans to speak up against the government's policy of ceding more and more territory to the Taliban? Do you want to raise your voice against that in addition to U.S. policy?
Yeah, I want to raise against voice against Taliban, against extremism, but same time I want to raise voice against American policies. Why did she didn't ask Musharraf when the Musharraf is attacking the people? Why she asked, and now this time we have democratic government. I'm totally against Mr. Asif Ali Zardari, but he is elected president. Why, you know, an American, and as other caller says, you never listen what we are saying. I mean, you know, 95% people against Taliban, against extremism, but also against drone attacks.
Got it. Moviz, thank you very much. And David Sanger, does this present a dilemma for the Obama administration? They want to militarily target Taliban when they think they can have a successful and significant strike. But Moviz is talking about the backlash that makes it harder for people to follow through on what Secretary Clinton is calling on them to do.
Absolutely, it does. And, you know, you've seen this drama play out through the Bush administration, and you see it play out now in my book, The Inheritance, about the problems that President Bush left to President Obama. The chapter on this problem in Pakistan is named How Do You Invade an Ally?, which was the way the problem was put to me by a senior American military official who was expressing the frustration over the fact that we can pour our troops into Afghanistan, but Al-Qaeda and to some degree the Taliban we're most concerned about aren't in Afghanistan. They're over the border in Pakistan. Every time you send a Predator in to try to wipe out an Al-Qaeda cell that's in somebody's basement, you have to go through a living room that's probably got seven-year-olds in it. So, you know, you can imagine the kind of uproar that causes. In September, when the United States ran a special forces ground raid over the border toward a house that was in Pakistan believed to contain Al-Qaeda, there ended up being a firefight with, among others, Pakistani troops. So we're in this situation where the U.S. can't exercise its military capability, but it believes that the Pakistani military itself is both ill-equipped and unwilling to do so.
Satya on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Satya, hello.
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much for listening to me. And, you know, I would like to disagree with some of your previous callers. I'm a physician. I was educated in Pakistan, and the majority of us, 90-95% of us, are so busy working hard. We don't raise our voice. And, you know, I want to say shame on all these people. You know, they're so busy trying to protect the nuclear bomb. But why was it developed? To try to protect the people of Pakistan. And, you know, look at the way the women in the Swat Valley are treated. They are not raising the voice for the women in the Swat Valley or for all the other women. Every time something happens, they turn around and blame America. Shame on them. You know, they should try to. Nobody speaks for the innocent people.
Sati,
can I answer a question for you?
Please.
So that's one thing, and I think definitely, you know, the signing of pact with the Taliban and Swat was absolutely wrong, and we should try to fight to them till death, because, as your previous caller said, 90% of the people in Pakistan or more do not like the Taliban. They don't agree with them, and if you look at the media in Pakistan, it's becoming more and more liberal. So that's what we want. We want to be liberal.
Satya, thank you very much. We'll get one more in here before we run out of time. Umbreen in Queens, you're on WNY. Oops. Umbreen went away. But was all right, so let's take Shazia in Manhattan. Shazia, we have 30 seconds for you.
I just wanted to say I agree with Hillary Clinton. I've been here for more than 35 years, and unfortunately there are not very many venues for Pakistani-Americans to have discussions around this. And there's also a huge mistrust and fear and reluctance to blame Pakistanis. There's such a desire to protect because you always feel attacked. And in talking to other Pakistani Americans, the big issue is they can't get past America attacking them all the time, which is unfortunate because they can't have an intellectual discussion about taking responsibility and doing something for Pakistan. But there's such a reluctance to get past, well, America's attacking us.
Sabahat Ashraf, give me one last word in 30 seconds. Do you either react to her or tell me if you think the Pakistani government is actually going to fall?
Reacting to what the last two callers said, Brian, that video that went around, was it last week, a couple of weeks ago, about a girl being flogged up in Swat, well, whether it was real or not, and there's lots of discussions there, but it did have an effect of showing Pakistanis up front what the consequences of giving, you know, territory over to Taliban or giving control over to extreme fanatics is. A lot of people who before this were being much more defensive about Pakistan and, as people said, you know, the U.S. pressurizing Pakistan and all, got off that dime and started, you know, talking against it.
Right.
As for whether the government falls, I mean, that's an open question. One thing we didn't discuss, for example, is what's happening in Karachi, where an ethnic party that only its own supporters like and everyone else thinks is evil is getting a lot of kudos, even from people outside their normal constituency, for standing up to the Taliban.
And we will come back to that topic in more detail at a later date, but Pakistani-American blogger Sabahat Ashraf, thank you very much. David Sanger, Chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times. His new book is called The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power. David, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in a minute, how about if you had to give money to a charity that you despise every time you smoked a cigarette? Think that could get you to quit? We'll talk to the man who designed that idea in a minute.